Welcome back, and joining us now is Gerald Sente. Always a pleasure to have him. Trends Journal at trendsjournal.com. Always ahead of the curve, and of course, he's right there on top of it right now with artificial intelligence, as that is the big topic at Bilderberg. It's been the big topic in the Senate last week, and I think it is joined hand in glove with this WorldCoin thing, but I want to get Gerald's take on this. Thank you for joining us, Gerald.
Well, thank you, and thank you for all that you do. You know, I was listening to you about the Bilderbergs. I almost wasn't going to be able to make it today because I got to go over there. I'm going to be with the Bilderbergs.
Yeah, it's just a friendly meeting. You know, I've told the story to my audience this week, but I don't know if you know this, but when we went to the one in Copenhagen, we were real close, and, you know, it's just a four-lane road between where the journalists were and where the hotel was. So we could see everything that was going on. Karen got a picture of Ed Balls, who was the shadow chancellor of the exchequer, showing up, and he didn't have his ID, and he's fumbling through his suitcase, and the suitcase contents spill out, and it's nothing but paperwork, Gerald. No clothes, no toothbrush, nothing. It's all paperwork. And so you know that it's just a friendly meeting, and it's all off the record, and Chatham House rules, and blah, 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 you know, but it's a lot of business is being discussed there for sure.
Yeah, as George Carlin used to say, it's one big club and you ain't in it.
That's right.
And, as you well know, you know, I was the first person to call RFK Jr. for president and back in December. And one of the things he's really coming out against is the bigs taking over everything. Mm-hmm. And he even talked about climate change. And it's not climate change that they're working on. It's the Bill Gates. It's all the billionaires doing what they want to do.
Oh, yeah.
So he's really coming out against these maniacs that are in charge of our lives. Mm-hmm. And they are. They've taken control of the world. And all we, as I say, all we are plantation workers on the global plantation of Slavelandia. Yeah. And it's disgusting what's happened. And there's hardly any fight. You know, all this stuff about Tucker Carlson, and an article here, they called it here.
By the way, talking about being on the slave plantation, I was talking earlier in the program about how in New York, they're starting already tracking the meat consumption of people and limiting it. Right now, it's through the public institutions. They don't have a way to do it. But once they get some kind of digital currency, that'll be their mechanism to do it. But they're going to, you know, they're in the process now of making New York City a 15-minute city, of controlling whether or not, what you eat and how much you eat and all the rest of this stuff as part of the C40's agenda.
Yeah. Again, we've lost our freedom.
Yeah.
You know, I want to mention this because the importance of people listening to your program and subscribing to the Trends Journal, because we don't do what anybody tells us to do. We just speak for ourselves and the facts we put out. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't make up stuff. It's a magazine. I put the facts in there as they're being reported, and then we give you our analysis and forecasts. But this is a headline in Wednesday's New York Times. Without Carlson at Fox, far right loses foothold in the mainstream. Huh. Again, whether you like Tucker Carlson, agree, mm-hmm. disagree with him, not the issue. Mm-hmm. Far right loses a foothold in the mainstream, which means it's not only far right, it's anybody that doesn't agree with the mainstream. How dare you?
Yeah.
We're talking one guy, one guy that's not repeating what 99.999999% are the prostitutes, the media whores that get paid to put out by their corporate pimps and government whoremasters repeat. One person.
That's right.
And it's news.
That's right. Yeah. Everybody's got to say the same thing, eat the same thing. Got to drive the same thing, right? It's just like we saw with the pandemic. No, we can't have any other alternative forms of treatment. Ivermectin is horse medicine. You got to have the shot. We can't have any electric cars that are hydrogen or fuel cell. You got to have the one that charges off of the grid. And oh, by the way, we're going to shut the grid down. That's what they're doing. You know, you got to have, there's one thing that they're going to push on you, and you've got to say the same thing that everybody else says, or you get purged out.
And that's the cover of our magazine.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Chat GPT.
Mm-hmm.
We'll tell you what to think.
That's right.
Don't think for yourself.
That's right. Yeah, I think that, you know, with all the stuff that we've seen over the last 3 years, this whole idea that we've got experts and we've got authorities, that's been driven into the ground with people like Fauci and the rest of them, you know, Dr. Scarf and Redfield and all the rest of them. And so what are we going to do to have some kind of a believable authority? Oh, well, ChatGPT. And they're going around shopping this stuff around as if this is, you know, they're inventing some superhuman intelligence and we're all going to bow down and serve the machine. That is the thing that's really dangerous because I know a lot of people are going to fall for that.
Of course they are. They've already done it.
Yeah.
You know, you look at, I don't carry a cell phone. And the reason I don't is because the research on it that shows how deadly they are. Not my research. University of California, Berkeley. Mm-hmm. University of Berkeley, California, rather. If you're on it for 17 minutes a day for 10 years, your chances of getting a brain tumor only increase by 60%.
Yeah.
But again, going back to everybody, this is how you walk down the street. This is how your life is.
That's right.
This is how little kids, little infants playing with the screen,
that's right,
they're addicted to it already.
Yeah.
It's already, so the chat is just taking them to another level of obedience.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, now the governments are trying to stop some of it. And you know why?
Why?
Because only the governments are allowed to tell you what to think and how to think. And now they're fighting against chat. They don't want chat to take over their roles in telling us what to think.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be pretty easy for them though. If they've got, you know, one of the things they were saying to the senator as well, you know, we want to make sure that we got licenses. Not everybody can get into this. It's just too important. It's too powerful. Not everybody should be allowed to do this. And so one of them says, well, you know, the concerns that I've got is that we're going to have a concentration. We're going to have like this little monopoly or oligarchy or duopoly or whatever. And he goes, well, that's actually a good thing. Said Sam Altman, because now they'll have fewer companies to oversee.
Could you believe this?
Yeah, I know. Isn't that amazing?
and that's what everything's become, monopolies.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what's the big news in the markets? Oh, Home Depot sales went down. Mm-hmm. Target sales went down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You know, but how about the mom and pops? Who cares about them? Nobody cares because they've all been taken over.
Yeah.
The bigs own everything. Again, as we've talked many times, when we were young guys, there were hardware stores, stationery stores, drug stores, grocery stores, and now they're all chains, drug mm-hmm. chains, stationery chains, drug chains, grocery yeah. chains. The chains own everything.
And we're in chains.
That's what I said.
We're the ones.
We're the plantation workers of Slavelandia. We're chained.
Chained by Wall Street. And that's an interesting point as well. Brian Shalhavi made the point when he was talking about all of this mad rush of Wall Street to invest in artificial intelligence and to funnel all this money into just one or two companies. And yet, you know, we've had these, pump and dump stories about artificial intelligence going back to the 80s. This is actually the third wave. It'd be the fourth wave if you count self-driving and cars and the failed promises of those things. But before people really saw how that was failing, they brought on ChatGPT. And that may be one of the reasons why they rolled it out so quickly, because they didn't want people to start to get skeptical of this autonomous stuff. And so, you know, they roll that out. And I think it's probably going to go the same way as these other two waves. I think it's going to go the same way as the autonomous cars. But if that happens and it turns out that this is, you know, a lot of the gains are illusionary and it isn't going to be the big deal that they're telling everybody, that's going to have big implications for the stock market.
I think it's going to keep going.
Oh, you think it will?
I really do.
Yeah.
You know, I've played with it a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a writer. I've been writing, you know, for a long time, best-selling books, a magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote it. And I said, let me see what chat says about what I wrote and one of the things I wrote. And we put the information in. Could you improve what we just put here and make it more blah, 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 blah. And I got to tell you, what it did was, holy, I couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I could not believe it. They gave us some really good, strong points.
Yeah.
And what you're going to see, that's on one end. I mean, I know how to write.
Mm-hmm.
But young people aren't going to learn how to write.
Yes.
They're not going to learn how to think.
That's right.
They're going to go to chat for everything.
Look at the dependence
that
it's...
I'm telling you,
look at
this thing, does it do a perfect job? No.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to take, for people that don't know how to do it, to do certain things, they're going to rely on this again, particularly the younger kids.
Yes.
That's their lives. Their lives are high tech.
That's right.
You know, we grew up when there was nothing. You know, I remember, you know, I'll never forget the guy's name. It was Mr. Sorrentino in the 10th grade. And I there were academic students and general students in New York. And I was a general student. I barely got out of high school. I got left back in the 5th grade. And he said, you know, most of you kids aren't going to learn much here. He said, you should learn how to do something. Whether you take a shop class, they used to have shop classes in those days where you learn to make things and fix things,
mm-hmm.
or become a secretary and learn how to type.
Mm-hmm.
I took a typing class,
mm-hmm.
and I became a writer. But anyway, you know, now you don't have to take a typing class. People go on these things like this. Boop, 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 beep, beep, boop, 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 beep.
Yeah.
It's their lives.
Yeah.
Again, one time you had to learn how to type. You don't have to do that. So what I'm saying to you, David, is no, this artificial intelligence, it's the cover of our magazine of one of the top trends for 2023. Mm-hmm. AI, we own you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's real.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only going to get worse because the people don't think for themselves already.
That's right.
And they want others to think for them.
That's right. That's the key thing I think is going to drive it. They don't care if it's accurate as, you know, as much. And I've had people send me stuff and say, hey, this did a great job of computer coding for me. It did a great job of circuit design. I had a listener who's an engineer said, hey, we gave it this circuit design, did a great job of that. The woman who was interviewed by Wired Magazine that I talked about just before you came on said that as she was looking at autonomous vehicles and things, she says, it's the same type of hype, she said, that I've seen with ChatGPT that I saw, that people don't see the flaws. They don't talk about the flaws. And she said, when you start using this for writing code, she said, people who are going to debug that stuff are going to have a long career because it's got to be really precise. And it's going to be interesting to see how this breaks out. But as you're pointing out, people have a lower standard of what they're looking for as well.
Yes.
Now. And when you look at what has happened with GPS, we use our phones for directions and that type of stuff. People have forgotten how to use a map, even to the extent that 50 years ago, when I went with a high school group to Europe and we were all on a bus and we had a tour driver and she would get disoriented wherever we would go somewhere. And she'd start to take us to there, and we'd say, no, the bus or wherever is over this direction. And she'd say, oh, you know, Americans have such a great sense of direction. Well, that was because we were driving cars, you know, and we were actively engaged with that. You can actually see what happens with a London taxi driver. There's certain parts of the brain that get developed. And when you don't use that, they atrophy and they die and they shrink. And that's what's happening right now. We got shrinking minds.
Exactly.
Yeah. I agree.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And again, I had maps all over. Everywhere I'd go, I'd buy a map and take all the back roads and, you know, try to mm-hmm. do different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't carry a phone. I wouldn't know how to use a GPS. If my life depended on it, I wouldn't know how to use a cell phone. Mm-hmm. I got an old flip phone that I take with me when I, you know, travel so I could, you know, tell the car to pick me up at the airport. That's about it. But again, you know, so This chat, GPT, and the others, they're putting countless billions of dollars into this. And in a lot of levels, it's going to work. There's a study that came out, and they're showing, I think it was Goldman Sachs or one of them, over 300 million jobs will be lost globally mm-hmm. because of this. And then the robotic thing picking up as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
they made a big point of, I think it was IBM laid off 7,500 people or something. So we're going to maybe replace these jobs with artificial intelligence. Within the next week, they and other companies like Google that have big layoffs, they go to Washington. They're lobbying for more H-1B visas so they can get in cheap foreign technical help. You know, so part of that, they got their own agenda. You know, there's two things going on. There's something that's real there, but there's also something that is being used by these people for their own purposes to try to monopolize this, to try to have an excuse for firing people and bringing in cheap labor, all the rest of this type of thing.
Oh, that's why, you know, that's what happened with it was Bill Clinton that gave us the H-1B visas, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And it was Lyndon Johnson, may he rot in hell, who gave us the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. And then what happened was, again, I'm of that age. We were either going to college to beat the draft or getting drafted. So you didn't have a lot of young workers. And that's when that's the guy that did away with our immigration rules. They were very tough before that.
Yeah.
And he's the one that killed it. And that's one of the reasons why they're letting so many people in. Mm-hmm. Is to bring in more cheap labor. Again, you don't have to believe me. You can listen to the words spewing out of the craphead mouth of Jerome Powell and Janet Yellen. They're blaming inflation, not on the zero interest rate policy or the trillions and trillions, countless trillions of dollars, well over $7 trillion, that the government's dumped into the economy to fight the COVID war. No, that didn't cause inflation. Stay home, here's free money. No, that didn't cause inflation. What caused inflation, according to these two clowns, are higher wages.
Yeah, I know. What a joke that is. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, higher wages. The only people getting higher wages are the CEOs, and they're getting a lot higher wages. You know, their wages went up 7%, almost 8% this last year, but they'd gone up 20 or 30% the year prior. I mean, it's just amazing how much they're making, but the workers aren't getting a raise, but that's what they say.
The raise of the workers is about 4.2%. Mm-hmm. The official inflation number is 5.9%. When you look at the real inflation number, and you go to John Williams Shadow Stats, you got it at what? It's about 14%.
Wow. Wow.
So your wages are way below inflation. And that's the other important thing. When they report the retail sales, they're not putting any inflation into it. Mm-hmm. So they're saying that, you know, people spent, you know, 1.3% more than the last quarter. No, they didn't. They spent 1.3% more to buy less.
Yeah, that's right.
Because the prices went up.
That's right.
But they don't say that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they don't adjust it for inflation. You know, when you look at what's happening with the border, it's a crisis. And even in New York on Long Island, where Karen is from, same county she was in, they've declared a state of emergency because there's so many people that are coming in. They said, we can't handle this. We don't have the police facilities. We don't have the housing facilities. We don't have the medical facilities. And it's happening everywhere. They're trying to stop it there. But of course, most of the places are not. In Illinois, Gerald, they're going to spend $1 billion on Medicaid, and they put it in the headlines here for undocumented seniors. No, they're aliens. They're foreign citizens who have come here illegally, but they're going to give them Medicare. They're going to give them Medicaid. They put this out about a year ago, and they spent more the first month than they anticipated they were going to spend for the entire year. And then you got California. They're extending unemployment benefits to illegal aliens who come across the border. This is an entitlement program for everybody in the world. It's amazing.
And again, look at the freaks we have running the show.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's not only in America.
Yeah,
that's
right.
They're flooding into Europe.
That's right.
And here's the deal. When the Nobel Peace of Crap Prize winner, Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton, Samantha Power, Susan Rice. I love this baloney. If only women were in charge, there'd be peace. What a load of crap that is. How about Condoleezza Rice? The next mushroom cloud you see, we have to stop Saddam Hussein from launching it, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, going back to that, Gaddafi warned when they overthrew Libya. He warned the Europeans, anything happens to me, you are going to have a refugee crisis you will not be able to handle. Mm-hmm. Because he had made a deal with Italy and other countries that he would not allow people to come in through Libya and then into Europe, because that was the shortcut right in. Mm-hmm. And he stopped it. Mm-hmm. After they assassinated him, boom. Last time I was in Italy, I couldn't believe all the... These, once upon a time, Germany had German people. The French had French people. The Spanish had Spanish people.
That's right.
No more. Yeah. No more. You got because of the other, Bill Clinton and the murderous, what they did to Syria. We want that guy Assad out of there. They have over 5 million refugees have left. 5 million. Mm. And now the Ukraine war. So what I'm saying to you, David, this is global.
That's right.
And it's going to get worse because let's look at the economic data. Now hear this. You don't have to wait until it becomes, quote, official before they announce we're in a recession. Mm-hmm. We're in one. Mm-hmm. And it's global. The numbers came out today in Austria. I think the inflation number is like 9.5%. In the UK, it's over 10%. Yeah. Your unemployment rate of young people in China is over 20%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the recession's already begun. Now let's look at the economy. When they raised interest rates in early May, May 3rd, 25 basis points, as the street had forecast, the word was they weren't going to raise interest rates again. They're going to pause when they meet next month. Mm-hmm. I think it's about June 13th. Now the street's changing their mind. And they say the Federal Reserve is going to raise interest rates.
Really? Wow.
If they raise interest rates, that's why you're seeing gold prices going down. Gold prices are going down because the bet is they're going to raise interest rates. So when interest rates go up, the dollar gets stronger. That's all it is. When the interest rates go down, the dollar gets weaker, gold gets stronger. So now the bet on the street is they're going to raise interest rates another 25 basis points. If they do that, this recession is going to get a lot worse. It's very important to understand this, that when they start raising interest rates, you don't feel the effect right away. It takes months and months and months and months. And now that time has come.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a big avalanche that's been building. And they just keep pouring more and more snow into the pack that's going to come crashing down on us. So, you know, if the word on the street is that they're going to continue to raise interest rates, it's creating something of a little bit of a buying opportunity for gold, I guess. The silver lining that we could look at it, you know, the gold and silver lining.
Yeah, prices are going to get weaker as interest rates go up. Mm-hmm. End of story. Mm-hmm. And another important thing, again, you know, we look at things the way they are, not the way we want them to be. Mm-hmm. And following the midterm elections, we said that the Standard & Poor's, the S&P 500, would go up. And the reason we said it is because of the facts. Mm-hmm. Over the past 40 midterm elections, the S&P 500's gone up over 16%. Mm-hmm. Now we're little more than halfway through. We have November, right? December, January, February, March, April, May. Halfway through, mm-hmm. It's up almost 8%. Mm-hmm. The S&P.
Yeah, they find a way to pump it up.
Look at the facts. Yeah. The data doesn't make a difference. Mm-hmm. It's how the game is played.
That's right. That's right. They'll find a way to pump it up. Just like, you know, whatever they got to do. They got to empty out the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. They'll do that. Whatever they need to do, they'll find some way to jack it up for the election purposes. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Talking about the election, what they're going to do, and I will bet my life on it, is they will start to radically lower interest rates in the run-up to the presidential reality show next year. They do it all the time. Because the person in power, they want to keep in power because they're running the show and they don't want to deal with anybody else. Mm-hmm. So again, the person playing our Treasury Secretary, Ms. Faccia Brutta, as we call her in Italian, that means a dumb, ugly face. Janet Yellen, what was the last job? Sitting at the head of the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
And now she's our Treasury Secretary.
You call her fascist brute.
Yeah, fascist brute. Faccia brute.
Brute force.
But anyway, so they're going to lower them. There's no question about it. When interest rates go down, gold prices spike. Mm. We could see gold easily hitting $2,200 an ounce.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Easily. Easily. And you got to also understand that the game is rigged. And yeah. I'm not making that up. They found JP Morgan Chase $900 million for rigging the precious metals market in 2019, which is an ancient history.
That's right. Yeah. And of course, the big thing you talk about rigged markets, you know, you look at the derivatives, you know, like GLD and silver and that type of thing, you know, where they're selling those things and they're supposedly holding them on the Shanghai Gold Exchange and stuff like that. And people find out that there's not really any gold behind those paper gold stocks and stuff. You know, it's only a small fraction of it. It is a fractional system, like a fractional reserve system when they sell those that paper gold version of it, right?
And think about it. They won't let us look at going to Fort Knox to see what's in there.
That's right. Yeah.
They won't allow us.
That's right.
The plantation workers of slave land here are not allowed to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't see this Shanghai Gold Exchange, Fort Knox. You can't audit the Federal Reserve. No, they'd have to kill you if you did any of that stuff.
No. How dare you ask?
Well, you know, one thing that you've been right about for a very long time, and every time I talk to you, every couple of weeks, there's big news about commercial real estate. San Francisco just had a major auction last week, the Union Bank Building. It went for 75% less per square foot than comparable building sales prior to the pandemic. This is gradually rolling out. You know, first we see this from one corporation, then another corporation drops all the money that they're losing in commercial real estate. You've been saying this forever, and it is trickling out bit by bit. We're starting to see what the true crisis has been now, 75% down in San Francisco.
Well, here's the deal. In San Francisco, they have nearly, I'm not talking about people going back to work. That's only about, I think it's about 45% around there, 43% of the people returning to work. So, but they have, that's the office occupancy rate is around 40-45% globally, and globally, nationally, the 10 largest cities is 49.6%. Mm-hmm. That's office occupancy, meaning people going back to the office. Mm-hmm. The vacancy rate, vacant buildings. Mm-hmm. In San Francisco, in LA, around 30% vacant.
Wow.
Vacant. Now, people keep repeating the line, well, they'll turn them into housing. No, you won't. The buildings built in the last 50 years, you can't convert them. It's too expensive. Can't do it. Mm-hmm. They're ugly, stupid things, just steel and glass. You know, you don't have windows. You know, you can't do it. It doesn't work. So now the commercial office building is going to bring down the banks as well. And there is about $5.6 trillion worth of commercial real estate loans. Now you have less tenants. You got a mortgage to pay. Oh, they're floating rates, most of these mortgages. So now interest rates went up. They got to pay more on their mortgage as they have way less income coming in.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is going to be like we've never seen before. We warned this when they began the COVID war.
That's right.
People are staying now at home when they said you can't go to work, stay home. And people are going, they're saying to themselves as they're staying home, day after day, week after week, month after month, waking up and saying, holy, I've been getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to drive an hour and a half to work. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing it anymore.
That's right.
And so now I'm the employer. I say, okay, stay home 2 days a week. Because I have employees work for me. I'm lucky if I see one or two a day. I got other things on my mind. I don't care if they're here. Just do your job. I don't care where you do it from. Mm-hmm. Now I could save rent on the office. I don't need all the space anymore. The big tenant. So they're subleasing and they're not renewing their lease. Again, there's over $5 trillion worth of loans coming in. And interest rates have gone up. They have to pay more on their mortgages, on their loans. So they're going to say to the banks, yeah, you keep the building, man. I don't want it.
Yeah.
And again, the bigs that own these, they don't lose any money. The rich don't lose it. It's the people that invest in it. So they don't care. So what I'm saying to you is the banking crisis has just begun. And it's not only in the United States, it's global. People aren't going back to work like they used to. Oh, and I forgot. Oh, I was just down the city on Wednesday, down in New York City, in Midtown, 50th, for rent, for lease, for lease, for rent, 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 all over the place. Wow. All over the place. Yeah. Stores, because once upon a time, you had commuters coming in.
Yeah.
You don't have them anymore.
Mm-hmm. So all the businesses that were serving them lunch and all the rest of the stuff, they're going out of business. Let me ask you this. While we're talking about the banking industry and knock-on effects of some of these things that are happening and potential failures, when we look at Silicon Valley Bank in the Cayman Islands, I think it was, they had a branch. And there was a lot of money that was at that branch, mostly from Asian investors, most of them from China. And they were told, you know, well, wait, we're not really sure what's going to happen. The Wall Street Journal said this last weekend that they got word that the FDIC is not going to cover any of that stuff. They said the FDIC is there to cover only domestic stuff. And so if they've got their money in an American bank and that American bank goes belly up, then there's no FDIC coverage. And of course they went well beyond the FDIC coverage. They extended coverage, you know, for billions and tens of billions of dollars for some of these people when it's only covered for $200,000. These people thought they were going to get it because it was a Silicon Valley bank that said, nope, it was a foreign branch. So we're going to do that. Now here's the other part of it, Gerald. They said that you have JP Morgan and Citibank. Between the two of them, Citibank's got $600 billion in that kind of a situation of deposits that are in Citibank branches that are in foreign countries, you know, like Cayman Islands or wherever, right? And JP Morgan has got over $400 billion there. So between the two of them, just those two banks, over $1 trillion, like $1.1 trillion, that is not going to be FDIC protected for these depositors. And as they're looking at that, they're saying, well, is this going to create a massive run on even big banks like JP Morgan as people want to get their money out of that and put it into something else? I don't know. What do you think?
I think to some extent, but the money is really pouring out of the small and medium sized banks and going into the bigger banks, you know, so they don't like, you know, what you just said, most people have no idea about that. If that's it's right. In a foreign country, you don't get any coverage. I think it's 250,000. I'm not sure of the FDIC. And like you said, they bailed out the bigs that had money in there that, again, our money to give back to those who should have lost it.
Yeah.
And again, the whole game is rigged.
That's right.
And so, but I think that's
going to be a predominant effect. The fear that people had that the two big to fail banks are going to be supported, so I got to get my money out of this regional bank. I think that's going to be a bigger factor. And maybe there'll be so much of that happening because J.P. Morgan was one of the big winners. J.P. Morgan and Bank of America were the recipients of so much of the deposits that were shifting out of the small regional banks, mid-sized banks. That maybe that'll offset foreign investors who decide they want to pull their money out and put it in something else, right?
And again, we have to look at who made this happen. You mentioned Bank of America and J.P. Morgan Chase. Once upon a time, not too long ago, banks were only interstate banks. Mm-hmm. They weren't intrastate, not interstate. Bank of America was only out in California.
Yeah.
And then you had Jimmy Carter and Reagan are the ones that started changing that and allowed them to go across the country. And they put all the small banks out of business, or most of them.
Mm-hmm.
So again, when this thing hits, when I said that the commercial real estate business sector, it's in mostly small and medium sized banks that have those loans.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the ones that are going to get hit the hardest.
Yeah.
So the bigs are just going to get bigger.
Oh yeah.
And again, look at it. What do we have? A interest rate between 5 and 5.25%. You put your money in JP Morgan Chase, Bank of America, what do you get? How much do they give you for depositing it there?
Basically nothing.
Basically nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, basically nothing.
Tiny fraction of 1% typically.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so, I remember going back and looking, you know, when they were saying, well, you know, interest rates, when they got up, home mortgage rates got up around 5%. They said, oh, look, you know, it's gotten back up to where it was like in the 60s. And I thought, I wonder what they paid people who put money in savings accounts in the 60s. And I went back, and when it was like 5% at the banks, you know, to borrow a home loan, they would pay you 4%. So then, you know, you look, so, but today, you know, 5% to, you know, when it was 5% to get a home mortgage, it was like 0.01% that they would pay you. I mean, it's less, way,
yeah,
almost negative interest rates.
Again, you know, it's one of the covers of the Trends Journal, if anybody could find it here. Yeah, here it is.
Yeah, yeah, they're chasing the money changers out of the temple, but it's a modern bank that Jesus is.
That's it.
Scourging.
Nothing's changed.
That's right.
Nothing's changed.
Yeah.
It's a crime syndicate.
Yeah, that's true.
Right in front of our eyes. So anyway, we are headed. The recession has already begun. People are feeling it. Again, I talk to, you know, a lot of people. One guy I know that has a, he supplies the top restaurants in New York, from New York City, north of where I am, and into Connecticut and Jersey, a huge firm. And he, the high-end restaurants he provides produce for. And I asked him, I said, how's business going? He says, slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
It's slowing. So if it's slowing down at the top, you know how bad it is below that.
Oh, yeah.
Because what's the numbers? Some 74% of the people living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. We're in a very-
and yeah, the prices of things are coming down, but they're still very high.
Yeah. That's right.
And what is, of course, the house is what, almost $400,000? That was a mansion when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And look, I bought 28 acres in Rhinebeck, the town of Milan, right off, right next to Rhinebeck in 1984, three parcels, 16 acre, 10 acre, and 8.5 acres. And an old house on one of them. I had to redo the whole old house, but it was a beautiful old house. $28,000.
Wow.
$28,000.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, when we moved from the Bronx to Yonkers, my father, may rest in peace, bought this big old house, $13,000.
That's right. Yeah, it is now, absolutely amazing.
Now it costs you a car. It costs you what? $50,000.
Yes. Yep. Right. Average price of a new car is right there. The funny thing about it is the used cars are not that much less. Used cars now are just what, you know, I remember talking to Eric Peters, EP Autos. We talk about cars a lot. And, you know, it was just a few years ago, we're saying, look at this. The average price of a new car is like $30,000. Can you believe this? And now it's gone up to $50,000 and the used cars are $30,000. And then when you look at the interest rates that they charge being more for a used car, the used car payments are almost as bad as the new car payments. It's crazy what is happening. And this is with people stretching this out for, you know, 8 years to pay it back, 7, 8 years, that type of thing. People can't afford to get, they're pricing us out of housing. They're pricing us out of cars, everything. That's the plan, I think. And let's talk a little bit about, I want to get your take on what is happening with FedNow and FedCoin and CBDC and things like that. Of course,
there's no question they're all going to do it. They're going to go to digital coins. It was one of the covers of our magazine back in March of 2020, from dirty cash to digital trash.
That's right.
And what they're going to do, you know, it'll be something like the Russians hacked our banking system, but don't worry about it. You know, we got a new coin for you. They're going to come up with it. They want to know every penny you spent, what you spent it on, where you spent it. They have more control over you, but most of all, they could get their tax money.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they're interested in.
That's right.
Because politicians never work a day in their life. So they got to get your money coming in. And so they're all going to go digital. And they're going to go digital, I really believe, especially when the dollar crashes, because the dollar is at its end. Mm-hmm. The majority of the world has had enough of America's hegemony, being it political with their wars and what they do in countries, and economics. They had enough of America.
That's right.
So we're going to see the dollar go down. When that happens, you're going to go digital. They're all going to go digital. There's no question about it.
And so when you look at what is happening, the same guy who held court with the Senate and had them eating out of his hand, Sam Altman, he's only like 38 years old, very much like Sam Bankman, just a little bit different, right? Yeah. He's the alternative to Sam Bankman, but he's put together a coalition. He's a big venture capital guy. He's put together a coalition with some of the biggest venture capital firms out there. As a matter of fact, I think it's like Andreessen Horowitz has taken the lead in this venture capital thing for WorldCoin. They say they're going to go out with that in about 6 weeks. But a key part of that is having a biometric ID. And the justification for putting this thing out is that they want to have universal basic income. Because after they take everything away from us, as you know, they're going to put us all on a uniform universal allowance to try to keep us from coming after them. Bloomberg said that when he was running for president. He said, hey, we had the agricultural society, we replaced it with the Industrial Revolution. Now the smart ones of us are looking how to get everybody out of their job. And the only thing we have to worry about is how we're going to keep them from coming after us with guillotines. That's what Bloomberg said when he was running for president. So it's always been about universal basic income. You see Elon Musk pushing this. You see Sam Altman pushing it, because that's what Andrew Yang was running on 4 years ago, you know, when he started his campaign. And so this push to have an ID and to have universal basic income as well as a digital coin, that seems to be what they're pushing. And it seems like it's coming pretty quickly. Do you think this is going to happen? When do you think this whole thing is going to collapse? You know,
you can't tell when the collapse is going to come because they keep rigging the markets.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
You know, again, you know, I never heard when economics 101, they never taught me about zero and negative interest rate policy or a thing called quantitative easing.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're buying up corporate bonds, the repo markets, you know, all of this stuff. So they're going to do anything they can. A plunge protection team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a plunge protection team. What are you talking about? Oh, we're going to rig the markets when they go down too low, but don't worry about it. The bigs, when the prices go up, They'll sell at the top, and then it'll go down again, and the little people will lose. So you can't forecast this stuff. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's going to happen, and it's all going to go digital. There's no question about it. Again, we began talking about the chat, GPT. It's all artificial. Artificial currencies, artificial intelligence. Artificial flavors, artificial coloring, it's all artificial. And look at the damage it's done.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know, oh, by the way, I want to remind everybody again, I think we sent you the poster.
Yes.
Of the rally coming up.
Go ahead and pull that up, Travis. Yeah, we got that poster. Yeah, is that next week that's going to be happening?
Yeah, May 27th. And you've been here up in Kingston.
Yeah.
And it's peace and free. It's Make America Healthy Again. Spiritually, emotionally, patriotically. And we're coming at it from very many different directions, because I keep telling people, you're in the fight for your life. And what you have to do is get in the best shape you can, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And we need to fight for, as I see it, peace on earth, goodwill to all.
Yeah.
Like I say, they have a thing called the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God. Stop. Mm-hmm. What God you talking about? What God? Oh, did you see the new study that came out from Brown University this week?
No.
God would have loved this. $8 trillion of our money was spent since 9/11 to fight wars.
Yeah.
And America killed what? Between, they're not sure the number, 4.3 million or 4.5 million. What God you talking about?
Mars, the god of war, I guess. One nation under Mars is
yeah. One nation under Satan.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I'm tired of this killing machine. And I'm doing, and again, I want everybody listening, it's not about me that you're coming to the rally for or donating to Occupy Peace for. You're not helping me. This cost me... You've been here.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Cost me a lot of money to put on.
Yes.
Takes a lot of energy from me. I'm not a kid. Mm. You know? And I'm doing it for the spirit of America As I say, my blood is Italian, my heart's American. If I was born in Altavilla Pino, Vico Quince, I wouldn't be me. I'm only me because I'm a Napolitano, born in the Bronx, born to be free. So I do everything I can to fight for the freedom that was given to me and allowed to have by our founding fathers that these little freaky nothing boys and girls have stolen from us.
That's right.
So what you're doing, you're not helping me. You're helping yourself. So if you don't want to do anything, don't do anything, but don't complain when all your freedom is stolen from you or we're being annihilated in a nuclear war.
Yeah.
Because you shut your mouth and you didn't put your money where your heart, mind, and soul are.
That's right.
So, and again, I also want to thank all the people that have been donating. And because this costs a lot of money to put on. Mm-hmm. So go to OccupyPeace.com, OccupyPeace.com, and do what you can. Or do nothing. It's up to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a great crowd. It was a great event. And this year, you've got Dennis Kucinich. You've got John Whitehead, who I have, I put forward his articles all the time. He's a great writer for Liberty and for the Constitution. Great speaker. I'm glad you're going to have John Whitehead there.
And by the way, Dennis Kucinich is RFK Jr.'s campaign manager.
Yeah. And he led off, he introduced